Well, to begin with, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 21. When you find that, I'm going to ask you to turn to page 143 in your hymn book. John, chapter 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know how I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Well, here we see in John chapter 21, Jesus is asking Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Why did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Was it not Peter that denied Jesus three times? Do you remember that Peter was the one that said, "Jesus, I want to go with you wherever you go. I'm never going to deny you." Peter is the one that pulled out a sword and took a soldier's ear off. Peter was the gung-ho one. Peter was the one who said, "I'll be there." And even though he said all that, Peter was the one that was famous for denying Jesus. Three times Peter denied Jesus. Now three times Jesus is asking him, "Peter, do you love me?" And at the third time, Peter says that he was grieved. The third time he was grieved. Why? Because he knew what Jesus was doing. And he says, "Yes, you know all things, Lord. I love you." Now, why is it that I share this with you? It's because God had put this on my heart. And I've been struggling with another message to preach, and every time I get to the point of preaching it, something God says, "No, not right now." And he did the same thing this week, and he gave me this. Because when we come into church, there's this need, I believe, that we don't worship enough. We don't tell the Lord we love him enough. I don't think we express it enough. We don't raise our hands. That might be our culture. But at least in spirit, we don't raise our hands enough. I've gotten into this thing. I'm just trying to be a little bit more expressive in my worship. I'm trying to say amen a little bit more. I'm trying to raise my hands a little bit more. I'm trying to get my shirt untucked a little bit more. You know, I'm trying just to get a little bit more excited. I figure at least Jesus deserves as much as what I would give the Braves. They disappoint me every year. No matter how much I cheer, no matter how close they get to the World Series, they always blow it right at the end. Amen. The Titans aren't much any better, you know? And so every once in a while, they make me happy. Every once in a while, they thrill my soul. But for the most part, I'm a disappointed fan. But Jesus is not that way. Every time I give praise to Jesus, it's because of a victory he's won and will win again. Every time I give praise to him, it's because he has delivered me. Every time I give praise to him, it's because he's done something that he promised he would do. And he's going to do it again. And so I can praise him because of what he's going to do. I can praise Jesus. I can love him because of who he is and what he's done for me. And I should do it all the time. Why? He's never going to fail me. He's not like the Braves. I can get excited and I can share my enthusiasm with the world without shame. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about we should be wearing these Christian t-shirts and all this other stuff. But you know, on the other hand, we wear t-shirts for every team that we support. And they disappoint us, do they not? Why should we be ashamed to have a t-shirt that says Jesus on it? Well, we don't want to offend people. We don't care about offending people when we wear an Alabama t-shirt, do we? Amen. What has God done for you? One of the hardest things to comprehend sometimes is when I'll ask people to say, hey, can somebody share how God has blessed you this week? And maybe one person will raise their hand, one person will stand up. Folks, oh my goodness. Every one of us, if we were in tune with what God was literally doing for us, and we really loved Him, and we were really, if we really comprehended how good He was to us and how little we deserved it, anytime the opportunity was given to us to say, can you praise the Lord about something, every one of us should be able to stand up on our feet and say, oh, let me. The song on page, I believe it's 143, is it not? My Jesus, I love thee. Would you believe this song? It has on there in your songbook, Gordon as the writer, but Gordon was not the writer, A.J. Gordon. Gordon was the one that put the music to the song. Mr. Gordon was the one that founded Gordon Conwell Seminary and all this other type of stuff, but he was a smart guy, but he was the one that put the music to the song in the 1870s, I believe. But back in 1864, a young man wrote this song. And you know how old he was? 16. He had just gotten saved. And he wrote this song. I don't know about you, but for someone who had just gotten saved to be able to write a song like this, God moved fruit through that boy. And more than that, somebody had been teaching this young man some stuff, because there's some theology in this song that most people today don't even know. He wrote a song that has endured. We know nothing about this man other than the fact that he wrote this song when he was 16 and he died when he was 27. But boy, does his testimony live. I want to share with you some things from this song. I want to use the song essentially as my outline because I love this song. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. John chapter 21, 15 through 17, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Can you say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. We talk Jesus, don't we? We wear crosses. We talk about Jesus a lot. We come to a Christian church. You know, we use Jesus as a cuss word every now and then. But do we love Him? Do we really love Him? Can you say, thou art mine? Do you realize that there is a relationship to have between Him? What do you say to your Valentine? Valentine, be mine. You're mine. Valentine. Do you realize Jesus wants to be your Valentine? Do you realize He gave you one of the most beautiful cards ever written right here? And it never goes out of style. He gave you His heart. He wants to be yours. And this song starts off the first line, my Jesus, I know thee. I love thee. I know thou art mine. That is the first critical step to being a believer, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have that, there is a love that should grow between the two of you. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. Turn, if you would, over into 2 Timothy. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The very last line of the first verse and of every verse here, he says, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. What is the now? It's the place that He's in. And the first verse is the place of regeneration. the place of regeneration. You see, when we get saved, when we are regenerated, it's the place where we realize we love Jesus. And because of that love, he says here, "For thee all the follies of sin I resign." Verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Here's how you know you love Jesus. You leave sin behind. You turn. You repent. Salvation is believing on Jesus Christ, but it's also repenting of your sin. Those people who say come to Jesus because he'll fill this little box in your heart that's empty, you know, this little empty space, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to fill this and bring you peace and joy and happiness and make everything nothing but rainbows and butterflies. That's not salvation. That's a get out of hell free card. Salvation is realizing you're a lost, hell-bound sinner. That your iniquity, that your sin has broken the law of God. And he's a just God. And he demands payment for that sin. And you realize that there's no way on earth, no way in heaven that you could ever satisfy that payment for sin. The only thing that you can do is rest on the mercy and the grace of God and the fact that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in your stead. To die for you so that you wouldn't have to. And he would pay your sin debt. And therefore you would by faith accept that payment and say, "Not my righteousness, but his." And because of that, you would say, "Because he died for my sin. My sin is horrible. I hate this stuff. Look what he had to do just to save me. Now I don't want to do this stuff anymore. I just want to be like him and love him and live like him because he first loved me." Folks, if that's the way you feel, that's salvation. You have repented of your sin and you've given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ, made him Lord of your life. Salvation without repentance is not true salvation because there's not been a heart change. There's not been an attitude change. There is no brokenness in the sight of a holy, loving God. "For all the follies of sin I resign." I love you so much, Jesus. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, Ruth looks at her Redeemer, Boaz, and says, "Who am I? Why would you do this for me?" When we get at that place of regeneration, that moment where we get saved, we should be looking at Jesus and falling in love with him for the first time because he loved us in the state that we were in. It's real easy to love people when they're beautiful. It's real easy to be attracted to people when they got everything going for them. But it's a hard thing to love people who have nothing to offer. But that's exactly what Jesus did for us. The place now, the second verse, the author comes to the place of realization. He says, "I love thee because thou hast first loved me." Once we move past the place of regeneration where we get saved, we grow in Christ, and then we come to a point of realization where we understand a little bit more of the depth of what Jesus has done for us. "I love thee because thou hast first loved me." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Isn't this good? This 16-year-old who just got saved has got all this stuff in this song. "We love him because he first loved us." When you grow in the Lord, when you grow in the relationship, you start to see things for what they are. You realize, you know what? It's only because he loved me first that I can even love him. You start seeing the plan that he worked out in order to draw you to him. That it's not by your own desire. It's because he gave you the grace to come to him. He loved you so much that he made a way that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But he gave us life. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. Do we ever stop to consider what it costs to save us? 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, towards the end. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When we grow in the Lord, when we grow in our love for Him, we start to see what He has really done for us, and that just makes us love Him even more. Amen? He loved us first. He purchased our pardon on Calvary's tree. He, through the precious blood of Christ, bought us back. Amen? He purchased us. We watched this little movie. I hope you get a chance to see it. We'll have it for a movie night or something. And it's the story of Hosea and Gomer. And I love that story. How many of you know the story? You know, the book of Hosea. At the very end, it's a beautiful picture of where Gomer is sitting at the auction block, beaten, worn, abused. She had run away. She had been unfaithful. And she was up for sale. And they offered, who will take her? Anybody. And they ended up offering some barley, you know. And he says, who will give me just a piece of silver? And they said, we'll just give you the barley. She's not worth anything. And they said, going once, going twice. And then Hosea, hey, 15 pieces of silver. And I'll give the barley too. People stood back in amazement. What is this man doing? He gave an exorbitant price for what no one else would pay anything for. Why? Because he loved us. He purchased us. We were his to begin with because he made us. But then he purchased us. And now we are truly his. No one can have us now. He said, we were purchased. He purchased our pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. Oh, goodness. Have you ever stopped to consider the torture, the humiliation, the pain that Jesus went through? And when you stop and think about it, as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you should love him so much more. Anytime you hear a song about him, anytime you hear a praise song, anytime you hear anything talking about Jesus, it ought to get something boiling up inside of you for joy because you realize what he's done. Oh, every little sin you ever commit. From getting angry with someone to speeding, which is against the law. And the Bible says that lawbreakers are in danger of hell. To lusting. You know, walk down the beach and a girl goes by in a bikini. Guys, guess what? You deserve hell for that. Well, you know, I can't help it. Guess what? You're human, and that's why you deserve hell. Women, when you tick your husband off just for the sake of it, that's a sin, and you deserve hell for it. Kids, when you disobey your parent even once, Jesus had to die for that sin. Amen. It doesn't matter how small it is. Our little
thoughtless sins of where we just forget to do something. Our little petty sins where we just talk, where we gossip. Every one of those things Jesus had to wear a crown of thorns for instead of us. We get off scot-free because of Him. That should make us loving. That should make us loving. At that place of realization, we should love Him. Thirdly, a place of resignation. I love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death. Job said, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, he says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Well, there's a lot of people that will turn their back on God just as soon as something bad happens. Just as soon as they get a diagnosis. Just as soon as something is cut off. Just as soon as something is taken away. Just as soon as somebody says, I don't love you anymore. Just as soon as things get bad, so many people will say, God, this is your fault. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Yet Job lost everything. Everything. Except for a wife that told him just to curse God and die. But he says, no. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He loved God. He knew that God only wanted what was best for him, even though it may not seem what's best. But even then, God's glory was worth even more. And he said, I love Him. I love Him. And he says, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. Job chapter 33, verse 4 has that in mind. Talking about every breath that we have is from God. Oh, God gives us the breath that we have. Why shouldn't we give it back to Him in praise? And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The moment, the point of resignation, when we resign, when we say, hey, it's not my life, it's yours anyway. So I just love you, Jesus. For every breath that you've ever given me, at least you've given me breath. For the life that you've given me, at least you've given me life. And if you choose to take it from me now, then that's all well and good, because guess what? There's the third or the fourth point. There's the last point. There's the place where we're going to really fully realize the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the place of revelation, when we see Him face to face. In mansions of glory, in endless delight. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, I have gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In mansions of glory, an endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee. And heaven so bright. And why will it be so bright? Revelation chapter 22 verse 23 says that there's no more need for sun, moon, or stars. Why? Because Jesus is the light. There will be no shadows. There will be no place of hiding. And there will be no need, because everything will be glory there. Amen. In mansions of glory, an endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There's going to be a crown. And not to me only, Paul said, but to everyone that loveth His appearing. Oh my goodness. This isn't it. It doesn't matter what we lose down here. It doesn't matter how bad it gets down here. I'm going to a place.
I'm going to a new home that won't have any leaks, that won't have to have a power bill, that won't have to have a water bill, that won't have to have squeaky floors, that I won't have to clean, that won't get dust. Do you realize you will never have to dust in heaven? What is dust but death? Dusting down here should just remind you that this place is going to die one day, because we're dying. It's fading away. Every time that you wipe that rag across that piece of furniture, you're wiping up dead skin cells, death, the body that is decaying, that is moaning and groaning just like the rest of this world, to be redeemed. And one day, there will never be another in dust can soul. No end dust because of end death. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. There will be a reward one day for all that we endure down here, because we love Him and look for His appearing. He won't just say, "Well, good to have you here." No, there's going to be something special when we walk in the door. And then we'll sing, "If ever I love thee, my Jesus." Amen. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Where are you at in this song? Are you at the beginning of that relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, love Him and turn from sin. Are you matured in your relationship with Jesus Christ? If you are, then meditate on what He's done for Him and just grow deeper in that love. Are you at the point of death? Have you faced death? Are you scared of death? Don't worry about it. Why? Because He's already handled it. There's no sting in death, and the grave has no victory. Even as that cold sweat is breaking on your forehead, oh my goodness, Lord, right now I love You even more, because you got that hope. You have that hope. And one day all of us, no matter what, if we love Jesus Christ and have been born again, bought by His blood, one day we will all stand on those glittering shores and all say together, "If ever I love You, Jesus, it's now." But why wait? Why wait? Why don't we just tell Him now? Amen? Why don't we just tell Him now? Let's stand, if you would, and let's just sing this song.